Join me in Matthew 15, please. I'm going to skip past that latter portion of chapter 14. Justin covered that some weeks ago. So I want to pick up at chapter 15. And there is a most important message for us here in this particular portion of Scripture. And, you know, Pastor always gets in trouble when he says this might be more important than the other, but there is one of specific interest that comes into play here that is really at essence this continued conversation between Jesus Christ and the Pharisees. Matthew 15, 1 through 20, I've entitled the sermon, "The Heart Never Lies." Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." He answered them, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, 'Honor your father and your mother.' And whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, 'If anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father.' So for the sake of your tradition, you have made the word of God void. You hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' And he called the people to him and said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person.' Then the disciples came and said to him, 'Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' He answered, 'Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit.' But Peter said to him, 'Explain the parable to us.' And he said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone.'" May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Jesus said again in verse 18, "What comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart." Now, I think obviously we all know he's not speaking of the physical heart that pumps blood through our bodies. So what is Jesus speaking of here exactly? We see this phrase, "the heart," over 1,000 times in Holy Scripture. Ezekiel 36, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." 1 Kings, "For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." Proverbs chapter 4, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." And then probably the most famous one is recorded in Mark chapter 12, when our Lord Jesus Christ said, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength." Well, again, I think we can see clearly just from these portions of text that our Lord Jesus is not speaking of the physical heart. It's much, much deeper. And I would argue, much, much more important than the physical heart. You see, the physical heart is temporary. One day it will cease. But the heart Jesus is referring to has to do with eternal spiritual matters that will be with us for eternity. The heart, biblically speaking, is that center of our will and understanding. The heart that Jesus is speaking of is a person's center for the physical, emotional, intellectual, and moral activities. It is the very essence of a person drawn together, and it drives our affections. It drives our thoughts. It drives our passions. It drives our very desires. The heart reflects our spiritual nature. So when Jesus says, their heart is far from me, he is saying that emotional, intellectual, spiritual essence of a person does not know God. Jesus is speaking of the very core of a person, the place of motivation. Your ambitions, your desires, your passions find their motivation in out of the essence of your very being. Proverbs 27. As in water, face reflects face. Look into the water, what do you see? Your face reflection. So the heart of the man reflects the man. This is Jesus' point. The actions of a person reflect the heart of the person. The actions of a person reflect their very being, their thoughts, their desires, their essence. And that's why I entitled this sermon, The Heart Never Lies. Let's dig into the text here just a bit. But as we do, to help us get our minds wrapped around where Jesus is heading, let me ask you a question. Which has greater authority? The determinations men make in regard to worshiping and honoring God, or God's holy word? This is what's at stake here in this conversation Jesus is having with the Pharisees. Which has greater value, which has greater weight in their minds? The determinations made by man to honor God in their imaginations and their ways, or the word of God that gives us the means by honoring and worshiping God? Which has greater authority? The Pharisees see human tradition, the determinations made by men, to be of greater authority. Quite honestly, the rules and the laws that they've made up to add to the commandments, of which they see honoring God, they hold in a higher regard than God's word itself. This is why they ask in verse 2, why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? They did not say, why do your disciples break the word of God? Why do they break the tradition of the elders, meaning the teachings of the elders? You see here in this one sentence, the Pharisees reveal their true heart. In that one statement, they reveal who they are. In that one statement, they reveal their essence, their intellectual and emotional setting as it comes to their spiritual position before God. They reveal the authority by which they follow, and it's their tradition, not the teachings of God. Now, what's this issue with washing hands? Might seem kind of trivial to us. It was a ceremonial law from the Old Testament for the Levites. As they would come into the temple to work, to lead the people in the worship, in the honoring and the sacrificing of God, they were to cleanse their hands prior to conducting any service, meaning they had to cleanse themselves from the outward worldliness as they would come into the temple. So it was a ceremonial law that they come in and clean their hands. So, to be safe as to not ever break that ceremonial law, the Pharisees extended that Levite custom to the entire group of people known as the Jewish race. But I don't work in the temple. It doesn't matter. We can't break that law. So you must wash your hands. Now, I know we all try to wash our hands before eating. It's just good hygiene. This is not what they're speaking of. This is a ceremonial cleansing that they had to do before they could eat. Now, let me put this before you. One might say they were justified in their position because it was God who gave them this ceremonial law. It was God who gave them this Levitical practice for their temple worship. And he gave the ceremonial law, one for hygiene. Remember, they're out wandering in the desert. But also to set them apart from other people. They were supposed to look weird and odd and strange as they conducted worship in honoring God. So these laws of the Old Testament, these ceremonial laws, they were given by God. So you could see the Pharisees stuck in this position. However, the Pharisees had lost sight of the intention behind the giving of the law. They kept the law, but they lost the heart. These laws were given to set the people apart. These laws were to remind them that they were a special people, a holy priesthood, as I referenced in the prayer. A people called out to be God's people. And these ceremonial acts were to show them as being different. But they lost the end goal. They became so enraptured with the idea of looking good externally that they lost the heart. We've made this argument before. Time and again, it's a battle between traditionalism and tradition. Traditions are good. The church is filled with traditions. The Lord's Supper is a tradition. 11 o'clock worship is a tradition. Sunday school, a tradition started by the United States. It's a tradition. These traditions, A, keep us in routine, but they also help us to remember. Why did Jesus Christ say to do this in the Lord's Supper and to remember me? Every time we do the Lord's Supper, we remember. It becomes traditionalism when we lose the end goal and get so overwhelmed in the act that it loses its heart. We begin to worship the thing, holding tight to that ritual. But someone asks, why do you do that? The famous words, we've always done that. The traditions of the elders. Not speaking of ours, please. But see, here the Pharisees are guilty of something else in addition to their tradition. They begin adding to God's holy word. And if we begin adding to God's commands as the Pharisees did, then we begin to see ourselves as greater and wiser. One commentator writes, addition to God's laws reflect upon his wisdom, as if he had left something out. In one way or the other, the additions always lead men to disobey God. Never let us think that the religion of the Bible can be improved by any human addition, either in doctrine or in practice. If you go over to the last chapter of the book of Revelation, the Holy Spirit there is very, very clear. If we add anything to this text or take anything away from this text, then the curses of God will be upon us. Because if we add, then we're saying what God has done is not enough. That's what the Pharisees were guilty of. But Jesus, being Jesus, did not respond to their accusations of washing hands. He fired one of his own. Look with me at verse 3. And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. This is a traditional practice of the Pharisees called Corban. The Pharisees would give to the temple their funds, their resources, their food, whatever, to the temple. And that gave them an out as to honoring their father and mother, because they would tell their parents, what was duly yours, I have given to the temple, so you should go to the temple and get that, not from me. The tradition of honoring parents was ruled out because they gave the rule of tradition greater authority. Even if the parents were in distress, there are stories where parents were in distress and had nothing. But the Pharisees would say, I've given to the temple. What would have been yours, I've given to the temple, so you can't hold me responsible. The Levitical law says if you don't honor your parents, you should die. The tradition said, don't worry about it. The Pharisee is smarter than the Word of God. The tradition outweighed the teaching of God. Verse 7. You think Jesus was ever one to mince words? You hypocrite. You hypocrite. You are challenging my disciples, but yet you do not hold the Word of God? You hypocrite. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Their heart is far from me. Remember, the heart never lies. Watch a person. Listen to a person. Watch their actions. Listen to their words. Watch how they conduct themselves. And over time, you will see truly who they are. Because the essence of a person, as Jesus says here, it's what comes out of the person. From that heart, from that essence, from that will and understanding, what comes out, that is the true person. That is what's portrayed in our actions. Watch and listen to the Pharisees as we go through these passages one after another. Watch and listen to the Pharisees. Listen to their words. Watch their actions, and their hearts are revealed. They lived and taught that keeping the law was the best way to honor God. Justice and mercy, love for God and neighbor had nothing to do with their teaching. Keep the law. Keep the law. But how about extending mercy to this woman? Keep the law. Keeping the law, the tradition, is the way you honor God. But Jesus is teaching something very contrary to that. Verse 10. And he called the people to him and said, hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person. Now again, this has to be challenging for a Jewish person because they were given foods they could not eat. And they said they would be damaged and they would be ceremonially unclean if they ate these types of foods. Now here's Jesus Christ saying, don't worry about it. Wait a minute, Lord. Because you see, they lost the heart and the reason behind the giving of the ceremonial law. It was to set them apart as a people. But it also pointed to the coming of another that would cleanse them fully and completely. I think I'm pretty safe in saying all of the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament are immaterial now. The moral law still stands. The ceremonial law, it's gone. Because Jesus Christ has come. Proverbs chapter 4 says, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The heart never lies. There's also judgment here. Verse 13, our Lord Jesus Christ said, any plant not planted by the Heavenly Father will be rooted up. Meaning a plant that was planted by, remember the wheats and the tares? That plant planted by Satan, that one that does not follow God, it will be uprooted. And then he also said, and if blind lead the blind, both will fall into the pit. Blind leading the blind. How many in the church today are following blind guides? How many leaders in the church today are these blind guides that puts the determinations of men above Holy Scripture? The Holy Scripture says a certain act and lifestyle is sin and is abhorrent to God. Yet there are many in church today who say, that was first century, it doesn't stand today. They just put their determination above God's word. Blind guides. Blind guides. How many blind guides do we have leading the church today? Jeremiah 17, passage you know well. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked and sick. Who can understand it? The old reformers used to say the heart is a factory of idols, because it is from the man's heart, person's heart, that idolatry is born. There is no sin in word or deed which has not first found its origin in the heart of a person. The heart never lies. So I ask us, what is the condition of our hearts? Now, I'm not saying we don't make mistakes. I'm not saying we don't sin. I'm not saying we don't fall flat on our faces more times than we would like to admit. And we know, we mourn that failure, because our heart's in the right place. But if I fail in my sinfulness and yet my heart is not pricked and I do not mourn, then where is your heart? Is it our desire to look good externally? It amazes me, and I'm just confounded by this, that we all have to be okay to come to church. I have to be okay to come to church. Folks, church is a hospital. It's for sick people. It's for people who are broken, who are failing. But yet, when we find ourselves in sin, or we find ourselves in failure, we run from the church, because we don't want nobody to see us. We don't want anybody to know that I'm not perfect. Folks, I think I've shown you plenty of times my imperfections. We like for folks to think we're okay. We like to look religious when it's time to look religious. I've hung out with folks from the church, and they start telling jokes that I wouldn't have told back when I was a pagan. And the man will lead a Sunday school class the next Sunday. I've heard women gossip and backbite and then hold our children in nursery. We like to look religious when it's time, but if no one's looking, I'm as guilty as any. And see, this is Jesus' point. This people's hearts, they're far from me. They honor me with their lips, but their actions portray a real heart. The heart, the essence, the being, the will, the understanding. And truthfully, it's pretty hard to define. But it's the person, the real person. And as I've said, the heart never lies. So, not to leave this on a sour, dour note, how do we keep our hearts well? How do we keep them healthy? How do we keep our hearts in a place that Jesus will say, I see your actions and I hear your words and they're lining up. You have a good heart. Doesn't mean you're perfect. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we get our perfection. So how do we do this? Join me in your hymnal. Number 656, please. I don't do many how-to guides, because most of the time they're how to make me look good rather than, you get it. Number 565, we're going to read a little bit before we sing. 656, sorry, I'm dyslexic. 656. Y'all know me. Listen to the first half of each one of these stanzas. Take time to be holy. Okay, there's the essence, holiness. The essence of a person. Jesus said, be holy as your Father in heaven is holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Prayer. Abide in Him always. What does it mean to abide? Cling to, desperately and feed on His Word, reading the Bible. Second stanza. Take time to be holy. The world rushes in. You're going to find your challenges, your attacks. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone, your prayer closet. It could be your prayer living room, I don't care, bathroom. Third stanza. Take time to be holy. Let Him be thy guide. Not human tradition, not the desires and wishes of a blind guide standing at the front of your room. Go to the holy text. Let Him, let that be your guide. And run not before Him wherever He betide. I don't know what betide means. But don't leave Him. As we said last week, God is with us, Emmanuel, always. Fourth stanza. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive. Motive? Where are motives born? Out of the heart of a person. Each thought and each motive beneath His control. Take time to be holy. It's a beautiful hymn. It's almost a how-to guide.